Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. The first Sunday of the NFL season is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this weekend and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I am Jim Galante along with Andrew P. Shea. We'll have Russ Tucker along a little bit later for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. Andy, all decked out in his Tampa Bay Buccaneer gear, so I know he's ready for the NFL season. But we are talking Penn State football, Andy. Let's start with the news of the week. And sure. I'd like to start with this. Penn State made a very nice jump, and we'll use the AP rankings for discussion here. They jumped all the way to 11th. That seems appropriate to me. What do you say?
Yeah, I think they made the biggest jump of any team in the poll based from the preseason to their week one result. I mean, you win a road game at Madison with crowds back in the stadiums now against Wisconsin. You deserve to make a jump. Are they the 11th team, best team in the country? Maybe, but I thought they were appropriately ranked. I mean, it's amazing. And it's you look at each year individually, but you almost forget they were 4-5 last year, right? The win over Wisconsin made you definitely forget that they were a sub-500 team during the pandemic football in 2020. But based on potential and talent, I thought they were ranked fairly in the preseason. And I think this is where they should be. You know, I think 11 is a good number. I don't know if they're top 10 yet, but I think 11's a good spot.
All right, let's move on. A lot of news came out of James Franklin's press conferences this week. I thought they were great press conferences. A lot of information came out of them. One of the things, before he was even asked about it, he said two things that they need to work on: defending the sideline and four-minute offense. I think Penn State fans would agree with him.
Yeah, the four-minute offense, he said it has to be better. He's not wrong. And I kind of agree with him, but he didn't seem like concerned or worried about it. And I'm not either, because I don't think there's not a lot of teams out there that have Wisconsin's, you know, interior defense and front seven. They were really freaking good. I mean, they made Penn State make major adjustments at halftime to what they were doing offensively. So you put the combination of that, they know you're going to kind of run the ball. There was no way Penn State could ever risk even a short pass in that situation just because of the timeout number that Wisconsin had. They had to bleed the clock down, you know, as far as they could. The clock was their enemy, right? The clock was Penn State's enemy in that situation. So you have to use as much clock as you possibly can. So I'm not too worried about that. Defending the sidelines, I get it. I mean, they were really good in pass defense all day. That's just a prickly. You're stuck in this vortex of, well, you don't want the clock to be your enemy. You got to make the clock be your ally. You want to make sure that it continues to run or try and continue to run. You don't want to make a mistake and get beat long because it's a 6-point game. It's just a really sticky vortex, but he said defending the sidelines, and yeah, okay, I'll give him that one. But it's still a sticky vortex.
All right, let's quickly get through these things, Andy, because there's a lot here. I'm going to package up the targeting on Ellis Brooks and the punt return interference by A.J. Layton, the transfer from Florida State. Franklin addressed them both, but essentially said he disagreed with both calls.
Yeah, so I don't disagree with the targeting call. He said he wouldn't have made it, right? Like, he would not have made it. And he kind of tried to step out and say, you know, objectively, that he would not have made it as the, you know, not being the Penn State football coach, which was kind of funny to see him walk that tight line. But by the letter of the law, to a degree, I think they had to call it, but there's this bad middle ground with this rule, the way it was written and originally structured, is that it's the definition of what is a runner and what's not a runner. And there is no like intent or layers to it or tiers to it. So it's a tough call. I agree with him about the kick interference calls. Those were bang, bang plays. And he's 100% right. The defender has the receiver has a chance to protect himself with a fair catch. If you want to protect yourself, make a fair catch. But both of those I thought were bad calls, because at real speed, that's always the thing to do. At real speed, they looked fine. And real speed is your best measuring stick, I think. When you slow it down, you're like, yeah, that could have been close. But real speed, it didn't look like he did anything except to do exactly what he was coached to do. So I thought they were both bad calls.
And what I appreciated was James Franklin, if you saw the video of his press conference, he even physically demonstrated what happened with Ellis Brooks. And I agree with him. He was demonstrating he was leading with his shoulder, hit the shoulder first, and guess what? The head comes along with your shoulder, and that helmet-to-helmet contact was incidental after the shoulder contact. And also, the exact words James Franklin used about the punt interference was that he did the job, the player, exactly as he was coached to do. And if he had hesitated and allowed the punt returner to get past him, we as coaches would have been on him for that. So I thought they were great answers from James Franklin on both of those. A couple more questions came up. From the media. They did a good job this week, I thought, in hitting the pertinent questions from last week's game. And the other one, Jordan Stout, he punted fantastic, but missed an extra point, missed a chip shot field goal. And the question was Pinniger out, unavailable? And the answer is he was available. It was just that Jordan Stout had beaten him out in practice.
So, in terms of punting and kickoffs, Jordan Stout should absolutely be doing that. I think it's a lot of duties to handle as a kicker, to handle them all. And, I mean, let's make an honest assessment. He did not handle it well, the kicking duties. He didn't handle them well. I mean, he might have won the job in camp, but when it comes, you have to start measuring it by the game now. Did he do his job as a kicker? No. In my opinion, I mean, he missed a short field goal and he banged an extra point off the thing. He also made a short field goal later in the game, but the bottom line is, as the kicker, he didn't do his job. He was a Big Ten special teams player of the week because he bombed punts all day long, including a 76-yarder, and he ended up with the second highest average ever in a game for a Penn State punter. So he's a game changer on that front. I think they're going to give Pinniger, they have to give Pinniger a little bit more of a look. I mean, he won the job in camp, but then when the performance came to it in the game, you know, Stout didn't measure up. He didn't do his job as the kicker. So I think you have to look at that this week.
My quick thought on it is, again, don't know, you know, we're not there at practice, so we can't see that. We'll trust the coaches that he won the job there. But, Andy, what I really don't want to hear, though, is this is too much work on his plate. He's kicking the stinking football. Kickoffs, field goals, punting. You know, tell that to the defense that had to be out there for 95 plays, that this guy out on the field about a dozen times, never getting his uniform dirty, tell them that that was too much work. You might take some of it away from them, but it shouldn't be because that's too much to do. All right. I'm beginning to sound like Ross, I think, about kickers, but let's move on. One of the questions going into the season, positions that was open, was left guard. And going into the game, it was Anthony Wiggin and Eric Wilson was going to come in and spell him, and they were going to share the position, some kind of ratio based on how they played. based on the press conference, it seemed like Eric Wilson got more of the praise than Anthony Wigan did. Andy, you watched the game itself. Who do you think we're going to see when the team comes out of the tunnel for that first play from scrimmage, Wilson or Wigan?
Yeah, I think the script's going to flip from the Wisconsin game where Wigan was a starter and they were going to split time. I think it flips. I think Wilson's going to start because he deserves to. He played better in his time in the position. The leash was short for Wigan, but it was not good. I think it was three series that he was in. It just wasn't good. So I think you have to flip the script. I still think they'll play both of them. I don't think you go, okay, one game, guy had a bad outing, now you don't get any more shot. I think what they will do is just flip him and then still give Wigan a shot to show that he can earn time in a rotation basis at that position. But Wilson was clearly the better of the two, although, you know, in terms of the O-line, it just – they continue to be dogged by the inability to pick up stunt packages. It's just a thing that this offensive line under this offensive line coach under Troutwine, they continue to struggle with that kind of pickup. But that wasn't why Wigan was struggling. That was not only why he was struggling.
All right, one last item, Andy, and this question, we had it during the game, we had it after the game, and it came up at the press conference. We still didn't get a real answer, but Keaton Ellis, John Lovett, and Akeem Beeman did not play on Saturday, and that shrouded in mystery why they weren't there.
Yeah, it was the availability word that James likes to use, that they were not available for that trip, but whether or not they are available this week, he said that was to be determined, basically, is what he said. I think we interpreted it differently. I interpreted it as they weren't able to play, that there was something injury-wise or wrong with them. But you saw it differently.
And, yeah, and I'm not going to – I say it's unfair – for me to say that it didn't sound necessarily like it was an injury issue, but I think this is the problem. James Franklin, I think, is looking to protect his players, but I think he does them a disservice by not telling us if it is an injury. He doesn't have to tell us what it is. Instead, it leaves us speculating if it's something other than injury, an off-field issue, either discipline or academics, and I don't think that's fair to the players if it actually is injury. All right, Andy, that is it for quarter number one. Stick around. We got Ross showing up for quarter number two.
The first Sunday of the NFL season is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this weekend and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.